Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this beautiful, sunny February morning. It's so glad to have you in worshiping with us today. It is a real joy to welcome you to First United Methodist Church here at our Brighton campus, and a warm welcome to those who are worshiping with us online, perhaps at home this morning. We have a real treat in that Bruce Stark and Bob Hemphill will be helping us lead us in worship today. We have beautiful music on the horizon from our choir with some wonderful solos. It is a real treat to gather together and worship and praise God. And we want to know that you are here. So if you would please take a moment and fill out that small connection card, and you can check boxes of ways you want to get involved. But it's just our attendance checking, our attendance method. We love to know that you are here and we miss you when you are not. So we would love for you to fill out that card. It's also available to be completed online by going to our worship page, and you can do it electronically if you prefer that. This morning, we are continuing our sermon series on Amazing Grace as we're looking at that beloved hymn. And so we'll be talking about grace and wrapping up week three of our sermon series. We would love to know how we might be able to pray for you. So if you'd like to take a moment and also fill out any of those prayer requests in your pews, those yellow cards, we would love to be praying for you. And also online, you can do that by visiting our worship page to share prayer requests with us. I don't see any children in the sanctuary this morning. That means I think they've all gotten downstairs to Sunday school this morning. We have nursery care and Sunday school for three-year-olds through sixth grade on Sunday mornings, and nursery care for our little ones, and so I want to invite you to send your children or grandchildren down to Sunday school if you'd like on a Sunday morning. Well, it is a great joy to be with you and to praise God together, and so let's start by doing that very act, that act of worship, that act of singing and praising God. Please stand, won't you, as you feel comfortable. Let's praise God together.
Okay, the opening prayer. Oh, there it is. Okay, good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we come to you, poor in spirit and in need of you. Help us to feel your presence in worship today and carry it with us into all we see and do and feel. Help us to see the world through grace-colored glasses as you would see it. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Thank you, Bob, for reading the scripture lesson for us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this room with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us in this time of worship. Come, Holy Spirit, move us beyond our comfortable living and into a life of discipleship that focuses on loving and serving you. Come, O Holy Spirit, come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us this day. Amen. Church, this morning we are wrapping up the last of our three-week sermon series on grace, amazing grace, actually, as we've looked to that beloved song from our hymnal 378, I think I got it right this week, as we've been studying that scripture passage and as we've been diving into seeing how grace is a wonderful gift from God. As you remember, if you've had perfect attendance, and so just a little brief review for you, but if you've missed a week or two, I'm going to help get you up to speed. That first week in worship, we talked about prevenient grace. From a United Methodist understanding of grace, that first week we talked about prevenient grace, that gift from God, that sweet sound to the ear that sings of grace, that a prevenient grace that loves us, and that gift we receive from God before we're even aware of who God is or God working in our life. Prevenient grace is that grace that claims us as God's child and then woos us and invites us into a relationship with God. That first week, we also had a baptism in worship, and we talked about how prevenient grace is a part of baptism, particularly for children or for toddlers, for young children that are still cognitively trying to understand and learn about God. And we talked about how in baptism, it's that expression of prevenient grace at work as the parents, as the family, make a commitment to help raise the child in the faith. And of course, the faith community has a role to play as well, supporting, encouraging, teaching, praying for that child until they're old enough to grow up and personally make the faith their very own. Remember prevenient grace? And then last week, we talked about that kind of second phase, that second understanding of grace being justifying grace. Pastor John talked about justifying grace here at our Brighton campus, about justifying grace being that love and that forgiveness we receive from God when we admit we are a sinner in need of God's grace, in need of forgiveness. And it's this justifying grace that begins to provide healing and wholeness in our life. So just like prevenient grace had an image I wanted us to think about, that image of the present. Remember that box, that image of a present. If I were to have an image of justifying grace, maybe I would have bandages or a box of Band-Aids, something kind of a healing, restoring our relationship with God kind of an image. Maybe a box of Band-Aids is what I would have us meditate on or look at or think upon. It's that justifying grace we receive when we receive a relationship with God, when we admit that we are that sinner in need of God's grace, and we personally profess faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, a lot of people, some people can point to a specific moment in time, even time, place, date, that specifically, when they can say, and this moment in time is where I personally professed faith in Christ and I fully gave my heart to God. Other people have a less specific date, time, and place location, but more maybe of a season of life, a time period in their life, an expansive time period when they were deeply discerning and growing and learning about God. And maybe that's when they experienced justifying grace. Others have grown up in the church their whole life. They were baptized at the baptismal font. They studied in Sunday school. They went to vacation Bible school or part of youth group. And faith has just always been a part of their life. And they've just always known that justifying grace of God. And so whether you point to a date, time, place, location, or a season of life, or if faith has always been a part of your life, justifying grace is about naming and claiming it as your own. Saying, yes, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, he is my personal Lord and Savior. And you know what? I'm good about saying that publicly too. I'm a follower of Jesus. So from justifying grace, then we move into sanctifying grace as we understand it in the United Methodist Church. It's this third expression of grace. Sanctifying grace is the love, the grace that sustains us then on our faith journey until we're heading on from this life on to the next. It's that sanctifying grace that helps us grow in faith, that helps us grow in our relationship with God. Sanctifying grace also transforms us to be more like Christ. So when I think about sanctifying grace, I'm good with images. This morning, the image I have for us is this image of a plant. Because in sanctifying grace, I'm always thinking of a plant growing, or I think of a tree, or I think of a vine. If you've been up north into the Traverse City area, there's lots of vines, right? Lots of wineries up there. And so I think of plants and trees and vines. Because over time, plants begin to grow and they produce, some of them will produce beautiful flowers, beautiful blossoms. Or over time, a tree will begin to grow and produce beautiful fruits, delicious tasting fruits like all of the apple orchards we see around Michigan or the great oranges of Florida. Or over time, an image of the vine, it begins to grow and it produces those sweet-tasting grapes. And so that growth, that image of growing, is what I think about for sanctifying grace. Over time, with those fruit-producing trees, something sweet gets produced. Bob read the scripture for us from Galatians this morning. He had us thinking about Galatians 5. Verses 22 and 23. And we're reminded that that fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we grow in sanctifying grace, the Holy Spirit works in our life and begins to produce these fruits. These fruits of the Spirit become evident in our life, and this bountiful crop takes forth, and we can see something growing in our life. That fruit of the Spirit grows because of sanctifying grace. I wish I had an apple tree, but I don't have one in my office, so you're stuck with just a plant here as an illustration. But wouldn't it be so great to have an apple tree or some oranges growing to see that fruit growing and developing, that fruit of the Spirit? That's sanctifying grace at work. Christian columnist and best-selling author Anne Lamont, she writes of grace, and she describes it this way. She says, "I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are and does not leave us where it found us." Anne Lamont shares that with us. And so from a Methodist perspective, that sanctifying grace helps us grow to become like Christ, and from this perspective, these words of Anne Lamont, that grace meets us where we are and doesn't leave us there, we've quickly learned that grace is all about growth. Grace is all about transformation. From beautiful trees that are going to grow to produce fruit, or from plants that are going to grow so long that they outgrow their container and they start growing all the way down, become these big vine-like things. Or from growth from small little vineyard vines on vines that start to really grow and produce beautiful grapes, we see that grace helps us grow and transform and change. But it's not just images of plants and trees that can remind us that God is in this business of growth and transformation in our lives. There's also illustration after illustration when we start to turn to the scriptures. We can turn to scripture and see that God is a God time and time again of transformation and growth and change in the lives of biblical characters and biblical stories, but God is also a God of change and transformation and growth in our own lives as well, each and every day. Well, a couple of months from now, we're going to remember one particularly powerful story of growth and transformation. We're going to remember and we're going to celebrate the Easter story. We will recall that on an early morning when it was still dark, Mary set out to visit the tomb of Jesus to anoint his body, to be there, to mourn, to weep. And when she arrived, she discovered that the tomb was empty, of course. Jesus wasn't there. If you've gone to church many years of your life, then you know this story well. You remember that it was a morning of a little bit of chaos and quite a bit of confusion. There were some perplexed disciples involved that didn't understand what was taking place, and a moment of faith for Mary. And that Easter morning, we remember that resurrection produced new life. That death would never have that last word, but new life was coming. Growth and transformation and something different and change was taking place, and a new beginning was present because grace was evident. We're resurrection people. We're people of faith, but we're resurrection people. And so that means we're called to grow and to transform as well. We're called to move beyond these empty graves that hold us and instead move into new life and move into growth. Anne Lamont, she says, "I don't understand this mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are and it doesn't leave us where it found us." Pretty amazing. It's amazing grace. So how does it work? How does this transformation get activated? How does it begin? Is it something that we can expedite when we choose our shipping methods on Amazon or an online order? We can say, I want next day delivery, or no, I don't need it for another week. That's okay. We get to choose the process in which we receive something. So how does this process of grace work? Can I expedite it and get it moving quicker? What do you think? I don't know, not exactly. We don't have that much power and control. But God transforms our hearts thanks to grace. God works in our lives over time, helping us become more like Christ. And yet we don't just sit back on our heels and wait like a lump of clay. We get to be involved. We're part of the transformation process. One way we do that, one way we're part of this grace-filled process of becoming more like Christ is through practicing of spiritual disciplines. You know what that is, do you? It's those daily habits and routines and practices we pick up so that we can know God more, we can love God more, we can serve our neighbor. It's all those different spiritual practices like coming to worship here in the flesh or joining online. It's those spiritual disciplines of signing up for a Bible study and studying scripture together in community, whether you're on a Zoom little box like a Brady Bunch gathering, or you're in person where you can actually pass around the Bible and read scripture together. Or it's those disciplines of prayer. There's so many vast varieties of ways to pray. Praying in color, praying walking a labyrinth, praying contemplatively, praying by walking in nature and connecting with God in the divine creation around. Or journaling through prayer. Yet others love, and our church has a great passion for this too, is serving in mission. Going with groups down to Cass yesterday, or going on Redbird mission trips, or our youth going and serving at CAST this summer on a mission trip. That is a spiritual discipline and a way to grow in faith, of course. Man, the list goes on and on. We can work for justice. We can invite others to church. We can share and witness about our faith, not in weird, creepy ways, but just in talking about how God has worked in our own life, and we can tell that powerful story of our own. Or we can practice fasting for food for some, or fasting from things that kind of prohibit us from, distract us from loving God and neighbor. We can fast. There's so many different ways and so many different spiritual disciplines. I'd be curious to know what are your favorite ways to connect with God? What are your favorite ways to connect with the divine? There are many ways we can grow in God's sanctifying grace. Now, the goal is not to be Christ. We're not going to be perfect. Rather, through grace, we become more like Christ. Coming up in March, the Adult Discipleship Committee from our church would like to invite you to explore one of these spiritual disciplines in particular, and that's the spiritual discipline of prayer. They are setting up and planning and getting all ready, organized, thanks to Deacon Loretta's leadership and several others on the Adult Discipleship team, setting up some prayer stations. So beginning the first Sunday of Lent, which is March 6th, you can mark your calendar, and then through Easter Sunday, which is the 17th of April, you're invited to try out various methods of prayer. Some will be more traditional and more familiar. Others will be very artistic, where you're literally probably going to get some colored pencils and get to work praying. Others will be creative or have a tactile object or a candle. And all of these prayer methods are going to be set up in the chapel. It's on the first floor, just in past the community room, up that little ramp. If you're not familiar with where the chapel is, you can check in with our office staff, and those prayer stations will be available to you when our church building is open, and we'd invite you to explore it. You see, it's the hope of the Adult Discipleship Committee that you'll explore a variety of these prayer stations and that you might learn something new and grow and experience a new way to connect with God and grow with faith, and that you might experience some transformational grace in that moment. And then another really cool thing that's coming up from our Adult Discipleship Committee is March 13th at 5:15. Again, mark your calendar. We're sharing another opportunity for you to practice a spiritual discipline of worship. But unlike maybe Sunday morning worship here at 9:30 in a more traditional expression or the 11 o'clock band-led worship, we're inviting you to try a style of worship called Tazay. Tazay worship, it originates from Tazay, France, and it's this contemplative, prayer-filled style of worship where you use simple songs, and there's this peaceful atmosphere that's created, and scripture is read, and there's moments of silence to help you connect with God. And there's not a sermon. So if you get tired of me blabbing on, this is the great style of worship for you. If Tazay is a beloved favorite or it's a new style that you haven't yet tried out, we would invite you to come experience this, and perhaps it will be a new spiritual discipline of yours, a new way of connecting with God and experiencing sanctifying grace. March 13th, 5:15. With grace being this tremendous gift that meets us where we are but does not leave us there, and moves us to become more like Christ, we realize that it's a gift we can respond to however we feel called. So what's your response to God's grace today? Perhaps this morning we could begin with prayer as we think about how we're going to respond to the Holy Spirit working in our lives. May we be open to God working in our lives. May we be open to change. May we be open to God's Spirit moving us towards all that is good and just and true. May we be open to fully trusting Jesus in our lives, having received prevenient grace. May our hearts and minds be open to all that God might have in store for us. And may we center ourselves in a prayer that is known as the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. I'd invite us to pray this morning. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, and rank me with who thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. May the tremendous gift of grace that molds us and shapes us and helps us to grow into the image and likeness of Christ be with us this day. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
God's people said, thank you, choir. Thank you, Larry. That was great. In the future, I'm going to be able to say I knew him when he was just one of us. Nice job, Larry. Personal note, a lot of you know that I lost my cat yesterday. I had to put her down. But I got over 300 messages and comments on Facebook from friends, many, many of them from this church, and I just want to say thank you. It means a lot. It's a hard time right now, but with your help and support, we'll make it. Now, would you join me in an attitude of prayer? Good and gracious God, creator of all things, giver of life, love, and hope, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks, to feel your love. We want to keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, to your blessings, and to your amazing grace. We listen for that small, quiet voice, that soft voice with such a big message for us. We listen for those that need your guidance, to look for those that seek you, and to slow down and take the time to help those that are searching for answers, answers to questions that only you know the answers to, answers that will fill their hearts with your love, answers that will give hope. We give praise to you and thanks to those that teach us, those that help us to learn to live as Jesus did, to remember those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help, those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, even cats, those that are struggling with financial burdens. We want to help them to understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. We thank you for your blessings on those in need of your strength, your love, your hope, and your grace. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. We want to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't know yet that they need you. Father, we know your grace, blessings, and guidance are there for all in need across the nation and across the world that have suffered due to natural disasters and to conflicts going on across the world. Blessings for our leaders that give them guidance that the decisions that they make be tempered with your love, that the strength you give them will help them to make decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts, that your love may be shown through them. Now we ask for your amazing grace as we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you with our prayers and concerns in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, like it says on the shirt, God loves you. Ain't a damn thing you can do about it. Amen.
This weekend, some of our youth went on a winter retreat where they had an opportunity to connect with other United Methodist youth across the conference. They went to one of our Wesley Woods camping retreat center, and they had a chance to explore faith and have some fun together and learn and grow. Great things are happening in this church for our youth. Just downstairs, our Sunday school kids are learning about Jesus. They're doing games and activities. They're hearing Bible stories. Good things are happening in the faith formation of our children and our young people. We come to worship on Sunday morning and we hear beautiful music from the choir. We're aware of Saturdays where people are going out to serve in mission and make an impact. There's great things happening in this church community. Folks gather for prayer throughout the week to pray for one another, to lift up the needs of this congregation. Great things are happening in this church community. And you're a part of it. Through your presence here on Sunday morning or online, through your presence in small group studies, you are a part of this community. And another way we can impact and share our love with the world is through our financial offerings and our financial gifts. That God can use these offerings to transform this community, to transform this world, to be a part of the mission and ministry of Christ, and we are invited to be a part of that. I'd invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings that we might give generously from our hearts. And as the plate is being passed, now is also a great opportunity for you to place your connection card inside so we know that you are here and you can share with us ways that you might like get to connected.
I just want to interject real quick before the prayer. Pastor Sherry, there's a flashback for you. Pastor Lindsay asked this morning, you know, to show grace, and how are you going to show grace? And I was hoping you could start with showing grace on my podium performance this morning. I believe I've introduced you to Larry Curley, and now I'll wrap up as Mo with the offering prayer. Lord and Savior, we are so grateful to be alive in you. We bring our offerings to your ministry. Help our offerings to transform the world into the place you would like it to be. Amen.
Oh,
Church, as we end this time of worship, I want to share three announcements with you. First is that Ash Wednesday is coming up, so I invite you to join us for worship on March 2nd. Here at 7 o'clock at our Brighton campus, we'll be worshiping in person. You can also worship online if that's your preferred style of worship. And we'll be having Ash Wednesday worship at our Whitmore Lake campus at noon. So I hope you can join us. Also, that an invite again and reminder to Tuesday worship on March 13th at 5:15. Invite to come check it out. Of course, the prayer stations, as they'll be set up in just a few weeks as well. And then lastly, I would like to leave you with a celebration that we are going to be doing a confirmation commissioning at our 11 o'clock service, as we are going to be celebrating some young people that are going to be starting their confirmation journey. So I would invite you to hold these confirmation students in your prayers as Lila DeLucky, Ryan Fick, Evan Johnson, Marley Simpson, Ezra Vitale, Ivy Vitale, and Brenna Wade will be going through their confirmation journey and studying scripture. And so we would welcome your prayers and encouragement to these young people as they start that today. So Lord, now congregation, may we go forth with the love of the Lord in our hearts. May we go forth with the peace of Jesus in our hearts. And may we go forth with the Holy Spirit, who calls us out into the community to transform it and change it and be like Jesus. May we go forth this day to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.